This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's your host, Will Doctor.
Hi, Red and Roll. Nice to have you with us. Welcome into the Golf Hour. Will Doctor with you for the next hour. We have a lot to get into at the halfway point of the BMW Championship at Bellerive. We'll keep you up to date as far as the Nexo Championship. Couple other things we have to get into today as well. The FedEx Cup situation with only the top 30 moving on to Eastlake. We'll cover that in today's show. We'll get into some President's Cup stuff. A lot coming down to the wire as far as qualifications on both teams. You know, you look at Team USA. Ben Griffin, he's at the only the top six get the automatic bid. And then the next six are captain's picks. And on the bubble of automatic qualification for Team USA is Ben Griffin at five, Colin Morikawa at six, and then your leader at the Wyndham Championship, Wyndham Clark at seven. I'm surprised that Clark is not in the auto top six at the moment, being the U.S. Open champion, has one other PGA Tour win this year, but I was talking with a buddy last night. It is amazing how much Ben Griffin padded his points over the last 24 months, but more notably last year, if we're counting the Zurich, won four times. So there's a good reason he's still in that five spot, despite the fact that has not played that good a golf here over the last four events. We'll keep you up to date there. You know, my first thing with the BMW Championship is, you know, I was not on site this week. My preview Tuesday, you know, and the course rundown was largely based on flyovers. And I feel that, you know, I knew that Bellerive was a little bit wider than I expected, but I mean, not only are the fairways wide, it's playing very soft. This has been a major championship golf course over the years. But as we talked about Tuesday, for the 2008 BMW and the 2018 PGA, it played soft and the scores got to the mid-teens. And I know the rough is healthy this week. The greens have some movement, but relatively soft. I just think this and the leaderboard largely dictates it. It's a bit of a brute test. The players at the top of this leaderboard, Wyndham Clark has driven it beautifully through two rounds with accuracy. But these are not thinkers atop the leaderboard. And I feel my preview was that we have some good things going heading into the weekend. Patrick Cantlay and Michael Thorbjornsson. Cantlay, we have the top 10. He's in a tie for six. Thorbjornsson, we had the top 20. Knew this was going to be a beautiful course fit for him. He's in a tie for sixth. But as far as the outright winners, Adam Scott at four under. He is eight back heading into the weekend with an outside chance. I still think he has the profile to get it done on this golf course. As we saw in 2018 when he contended at the PGA, it's just the putter. I mean, losing almost two shots to the field on the greens through two rounds. Adam Scott, he has the distance and accuracy off the tee. One of the better iron players in the game, but someone who is just, it's been the story of the last 2 years for Adam Scott and the broomstick. Just cannot find his mojo on the greens. We'll see if that changes heading into the weekend. Let's get into the leader and Wyndham Clark. He has solved the challenge of Bellerive better than anyone through 36 holes. He's at 12 under after rounds of 64-64, one ahead of Gary Woodland. And we'll get into Gary Woodland later on in today's show. He is also someone who is in contention at the PGA at Bellerive in 2018 and someone who, you know, looking back, what a great course fit Gary Woodland was. Very comfortable around this place. We'll hear from him later on after round two, some of his interviews from post-Friday's round. But Wyndham has stood apart. He is one ahead of Gary, two ahead of J.J. Spahn. And then you got Chris Goddard and Sung J.M. there at 9 under. But Wyndham Clark is the only player in the field without a bogey. It is the first time in his career that he has gone bogey-free through 36 holes. And Clark talked about Belle Reve and really the fact that between the Zoysia and the way they keep this golf course, it is soft, and he is attacking.
It's a little unfair to Belle Reve just simply because of the time of year. It's so soft. It's hard to make the greens firm. And then anytime we get to play in Zoysia, we're all so good, able to control our distances and kind of do whatever we want with the golf ball. So those two things, make it look, I guess, like you said, easy, but it's not.
I said comfortable.
You said, yeah, so make it look comfortable. It's not an easy course by any means. I mean, you see guys making bogeys left and right, and it is challenging. It's a great golf course, I just think, because of the soft conditions.
And maybe you guys have experienced the Zoysia conditions out at Highland Pines, which is one of the really the better new public golf courses in the Houston area, and they've put Zoysia in, and it really is just perfect. The ball sits up nicely. There's no bad lies. There's no mud balls. And yeah, the guys this week at Belle Reve who have really been on with their irons, Wyndham Clark, Chris Goddard, Patrick Cantlay, Russell Henley, Victor Hovland, these guys who are striking the ball well out of the fairway, really everyone except Adam Scott is taking advantage. I don't see Belle Reve drying out over the weekend. I would say this will be the easiest playoff test out of the three. Memphis last week was a great challenge with how firm it was, balls rolling out of the fairway, Bermuda greens. And then Eastlake, even though I believe Eastlake has also gone to Zoysia fairways, that is always a good test. And as Clark said, it's not an attack on the golf course. It's just this time of year, it's always soft in St. Louis. And the weather, you had some rain Sunday, had some rain Tuesday. It's really taken the teeth out of the golf course. I will say Wyndham Clark's back nine, very impressive yesterday. We talk about these halfway point leaders, and the top of this leaderboard is a lot strong. It's a trustworthy top of the leaderboard. I don't see this changing that much between Wyndham Clark and Gary Woodland and Chris Goddard. JJ Spahn also on a roll with a new putter. In that honeymoon phase with the new putter. So I see Spahn also staying atop the leaderboard. Sung J.M. has been dependable this year as far as a top 20 machine. Cantlay trying to heat things up ahead of the President's Cup. Get a bid from Brant Snedeker. Michael Thor Bjornsson, also a recent winner, won in Detroit. And he knows that probably going to take a win for him to get a nod from Snedeker. Let's just check where Thor Bjornsson is here on President's Cup. He had 29 on President's Cup points. He will need a win to have any chance to get on that team. And then, of course, you have Rory McIlroy at 7-under in a tie for 8th just 1 week after a really horrid performance in Memphis. He doesn't like that golf course. Belle Reve, a completely different story. He called Belle Reve a modern ballpark. It's kind of he kind of compared it to Valhalla. Ludvig Åberg compared it to Quail Hollow. It's a big ballpark. It's soft, and those are the best conditions for world number two Rory McIlroy. Now back to Clark. The fairway bunker shots that he hit down the stretch in his second round on 12, 14, 18. It kind of took me back to the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, where he was scrambling from all over the place and. He just knows, even, despite him being a sprayer of the golf ball off the tee, which you were seeing firsthand on his back nine yesterday, he is still a fantastic wedge player around the greens. And even though he has struggled in his career with fairway bunker shots, really the way he played 12, 14, and 18 yesterday and took advantage of a great fairway bunker shot on 14 with a birdie there. Very impressive stuff. Here was Clark on his sand efforts yesterday down the back nine.
For me, it's huge. I traditionally have struggled out of the fairway bunkers, and it's something I work really hard on. It helps my swing. But when I get into those and I pull off a shot, it's actually those are the best shots of the day, because mentally I go in there with a little bit of, fear, unknown, how I'm going to hit the shot, and to pull them off and overcome that is great. So those are huge.
Yeah, I have no reason to have, especially with the fact that, for the most part, other than the back nine yesterday, his driver has looked completely dialed in, and we know what kind of we know what kind of short iron and distance wedge player Clark is, picking up almost three shots in the field with his second shot through two rounds. The putter really hasn't even heated up yet. I would not be, I'm not adding anything, especially when we get into Woodland later on. You'll hear how confident he is in his game. You know, if Adam Scott shoots a couple 64s, great. But I don't see the top of this leaderboard changing all that much. As far as more on your leader, Wyndham Clark, you're, as aforementioned, already has two wins this season at the CJ Cup in Dallas and at the U.S. Open. This is his seventh career 36-hole lead. He has converted two out of those six. And yeah, if the putter stays warm and he doesn't start spraying it too much, he should have no problem this weekend. He does have some dogs behind him. Gary Woodland, J.J. Spahn, Chris Goddard, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay. You have Scheffler after a tough start. World number one Scottie Scheffler. He is not out of this. And I believe he was a little under the weather in round one after his eight-shot victory last week. He comes out yesterday, and I mean, he was even through nine holes. He makes the turn, and he's still at two over. He goes birdie on 10, birdie on 11, birdie on 13, birdie on 14, birdie on 17. 5 under 65 to get to 3 under. I know he's 9 back of Clark, and especially with soft conditions ahead. Scheffler said it's going to take 4 more 9s like the one on the back nine yesterday to have any chance to win this golf tournament. You know, one more thing here before we take a break. It was interesting to find out that Wyndham Clark, he was talking about the last 3 weeks or his last three tournaments, and notably his performance after the U.S. Open win at Shinnecock. He went 5th at the Travelers, 13th at the Scottish. He then had back-to-back missed cuts at the British Open and in Detroit, where his ball striking really got loose, didn't putt well. We found out yesterday, and I knew Wyndham Clark threw out the first pitch at a Detroit Tigers game during Rocket Classic week. And credit to him, the pitch was good, right down the pipe. You can go look it up, about 55 miles per hour, no embarrassment there, good form. The problem is, apparently he threw his arm out. Wyndham Clark threw his arm out while warming up to throw the first pitch. Let's hear it, Johnny.
Well, I didn't do anything beforehand. I show up, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I need to do a practice. And I didn't get anything, and then in about 20 minutes, and the pitching coach was like, hey, do you want to go throw underneath and meet some of the guys? I was like, sure. So we threw probably 15 warm-ups, and then I actually started throwing it kind of hard, and I was like, oh, this feels really good, and it was stupid. I started throwing harder and harder, and then went out to the first pitch, kind of took a little bit off, and then I woke up the next day, and oh my gosh, my arm was hurting.
You slotted it, though.
I did. I'm very proud of that pitch.
So, credit to Clark, threw a strike, but our U.S. Open champion, the fact he's threw out his arm preparing for a ceremonial first pitch. Once again, we talked about this last week with the Heat in Memphis. Not a good couple weeks for the golf athlete take. And we spoke about this last week with Memphis and players coming off the course. It was about 100 degrees in Memphis last week, and there were some players coming off the course saying that they were about to pass out. Somewhere out there, Stephen A. is listening to this stuff, and he continues to build on that take. I was against Stephen A. many months ago. These last 2 weeks have ruined my take that all golfers are athletes, and you would think someone like Clark, who you know, is an absolute stallion, in great fitness shape, so it appears. But the fact that he got hurt warming up for a first pitch, it only hurts my argument that all golfers are athletes, and I have to continue to preach. You know, there were some listeners who were on me earlier this week, and Chris Goddard is in contention. I was on him fairly hard for his words
last week in Memphis. Here was Chris Goddard up on the biggest challenges of playing for the Heat in Memphis, and I'm quoting him now from his press conference last Friday. He goes, honestly, for me, it's hard. One, just staying as hydrated as possible, getting the salt right, electrolytes, all that. It is hard to keep up. My hands get really sweaty. That's part of the deal, too. It's just trying to make sure I'm ready to go, getting ready for every shot, and mentally, honestly. The reason this works against my athlete take is, you know, growing up in Texas, and if you grew up playing golf in the South, I mean, we all have to deal with 100-degree temperatures for 3-4 months at a time. And for someone at the top level of the PGA Tour to have only played two competitive rounds between the Open and last week in Memphis, which was Goddard's schedule, and have a tough time with the Heat, you know, I have to question the athletic ability. And same goes for Wyndham Clark. You know, getting hurt warming up during a first pitch, I have to question the athletic ability there. We'll take a quick break. On the other side, we'll hear more from the great Gary Woodland, the Houston Open champion, who's back in contention at the BMW. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Back after this.
If you missed John and Lance, you missed this.
A new study says popular erection medication could make you go blind. Are you guys there? I can't see you.
Weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
Are you there?
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Yeah, Johnny made a great point over the break. Johnny Bellmer behind the ones and twos today. Nice to have you aboard, Johnny. Look, golf is obviously, golf is a sport. And a lot of these guys do display phenomenal athletic ability. The speed, the balance, the coordination, the durability that's required to play at this level, it is real. But, things are said by the players in these press conferences, and I have to give you my honest take on that. I think that it definitely hurts the case. Clark, you know, throwing out his arm on the first pitch and got her up, gasping for breath. In Memphis last week, I think it hurts the take as far as are all golfers athletes. Let's see here. As far as Clark and the leader, Wyndham Clark at 12 under at the BMW, if you're just joining us, everyone has said that Scottie Scheffler has player of the year and the money list locked up. I'm in the same belief there. But with Clark leading the BMW, you start to have to wonder. If he wins the BMW, he has 3 wins on the season, including the U.S. Open and a playoff event. And Scottie Scheffler has 2 wins. No major, but the consistency has been at an absurd pace. 12 top 5 finishes and 18 starts, 5 runner-ups. Another demolition last week in Memphis. His second, Scheffler's second victory by 8 shots or more. The first one came in Dallas 2 years ago. But yeah, Rory was asked Wednesday whether a Masters and Tour Championship combination could put him in the Player of the Year discussion. And Rory laughed at the reporter, and he said there is no discussion and that Scottie Scheffler is the Player of the Year. If Clark finishes the job here, I don't think the debate becomes legitimate. 12 top fives and 18 starts for Scheffler. That's world class. Wyndham has still had his ebbs and flows through the season, did not have a good start on the West Coast, did not have a top 25 finish until April at the Masters. And then after the U.S. Open, Wynn had a little bit of a downfall at the Open Championship and the Rocket Classic where he threw his arm out. So I think that Clark would really have to win here at the BMW and then go on and win the Tour Championship. And I think then the debate would be over. That would be 4 wins for Clark, a major, 2 playoff wins, and would probably take the FedEx Cup. That is a Player of the Year resume right there. And regardless, remember, Scotty, it doesn't even matter if Wyndham wins this week. Scotty will start next week at the Tour Championship in the number one seed position. Let's get to Gary Woodland here. You know, he's from Kansas. Gary is one earlier this year in Houston, which was a major story locally. And really what Gary has had to overcome, as we've covered a lot on this show, overcame a massive brain tumor, did not know if he was going to live, and has really come back strong over these last 2 years. And we saw that on firsthand in Houston, where he won by five shots at 21 under. But Gary's feeling very comfortable through two rounds this week. In fact, he said that this was the most comfortable he has felt through 36 holes of a golf tournament, with where his body is, with where his brain is. You know, his wife arrived to the tournament on Friday. Gary's feeling very good. Listen in.
Yeah, I'd say that. I feel very comfortable. It's nice being close to home. It's nice having so much support out here. The fans have been amazing. And I'm definitely feeding off that energy for sure.
And the numbers support that feeling through two rounds for Gary. He leads the field off the tee. You know, he is the number one player in the field through two rounds with his approach play. We'll see what happens with Woodland on the greens this weekend, but he has more experience at Belrive than anyone in the top 10 on this leaderboard. Was in contention through two rounds at the 2018 BMW, where he played with Tiger on Saturday. Said he wasn't ready for that moment. We'll hear about that from him later on. But just played beautifully, Gary did, on Friday to follow up his 64 in the first round, where, and I was watching this live, Gary made an eagle on 11. It was par 4. I believe he had a wedge in his hand from 110 yards out, front right pin, threw it about 10 yards behind the pin, and then sucked it back with some spin right into the cup. Absolutely electric stuff from Gary Woodland there on Thursday, and he turned it around Friday. Bogey-free 65, 3-under on the front, 2-under on the back. Here was Gary on his Friday round.
I played nicely. I didn't probably hit it as well as I did yesterday, where I was in complete control, but the key for me was lost it a little bit on the back nine there, lost some shots to the right, and I was able to adjust, kind of take a step back. I checked my grip, which is a key from Randy Smith there. I checked my grip and hit four really great shots coming in on 17, 18. So proud of the adjustment I made there.
Yeah, the other thing, and obviously it's I'm always fascinated by how simple the practice of Randy Smith disciples are. Scotty, world number one Scotty Scheffler, what is he always working on? It's always the fundamentals. Grip, alignment, posture, never working on anything too crazy outside of that. And then here's Gary Woodland, another Randy Smith disciple, talking about, you know, all he's focused on this week is having a solid grip. It's one of the few things you can do that is within your control. And that's what Gary's focused on. He also changed golf balls before this week. I don't have the exact golf ball that he switched to. I don't have that information. He did say his goal was to reduce some of the spin on these Zoi Gelais this week and make the distance a little more predictable. Here was Gary more. He was more from Woodland on switching the pellet.
Yeah, that golf ball change is I know it's going to be good for me down the road, but it's been amazing for me right now. Coming off this type of grass, it's a little less spin. You know, this type of grass definitely adds spin to the golf ball. So being able to control my distance is a lot better. That golf ball's helped me a ton this week for sure, and hopefully get into next week and have the same type of grass and would help me there as well.
Yeah, I mean, Gary played well over the weekend at the 2018 PGA, looking back, and that was at Belrive. He was the first-round leader with a 64 and was tied first-round leader again this week. Would have been a good handicapping play. Missed the mark there. But Gary, back at the 2018 PGA, followed up the opening round 64 at the 66. And then the third round with Tiger, that hurt him. It was a third round 71. that didn't take him out of contention, but put him a little too far back on the leaderboard to keep up with eventual winner Brooks Koepka, who won his third major that week, and eventually Adam Scott got back up with pace, and then Tiger was also there in contention as well. Adam Scott, you look back to 2018, he did have the low third round at the 2018 PGA, shot 65 to put himself in contention back at the 2018 PGA. But here was Gary Woodland and his thoughts on that week over 8 years ago.
It was definitely the first time I probably had a lot of nerves going in there.
Saturday specific, I mean.
It helped. I mean, I played with Kiz, who's a buddy. I played with Brooks, who's a buddy. That helped, but I wasn't probably ready for it yet. I'm definitely more prepared for it now. I've been through the ringer a lot. Looking forward to it more now than, you know, then I was probably a little nervous going in. Now I thrive
to
it in it.
In 18, and
what's
until
that?
The 10th hole, you're probably looking forward
until the 10th hole. At the end of the day, I love the golf course. The golf course sets up nice for me, and you feed off the energy of the crowd out here. And I've had success here, which is a big key for me as well.
All right, so that's Gary Woodland. He's in second, one shot back at Clark. In solo third is J.J. Spahn. Has won here in the state of Texas twice. Is a two-time winner of the Valero Texas Open. 14 birdies through two rounds for Spahn to most of the field. He shot 66 yesterday on his 36th birthday. Happy belated birthday to J.J. Spahn. His ball striking has not been surprising at all through two rounds. That's something, you know, the driver and the irons are something you never have to worry about with J.J. Spahn. That seems to be consistent on a week-in, week-out basis. But it's funny to watch J.J. Spahn rotate through all these putters. This putter he has this week, he had used it at the Travelers before, so it's not a straight out of left field equipment change. It's a model he knows well, but he is in a re-honeymoon phase with this putter, as he described it. Listen in.
No, I think that does happen, at least for me, quite a bit. When I left this putter that I'm using now, like during Travelers, that was my first week with a different putter, and I like finished top six or seven and gained probably three or four strokes on the green. So, some people call it like honeymoon phase and stuff, but this one's been around for a while and has seen some really, really cool things. So it's nice to get back into it and feel like, you know, the work that I've been doing with my stroke is kind of paying its dividends with this new putter, or with my, you know, old new putter. And I feel comfortable with it because I've had so much success with it.
So I think it's either this Scotty Cameron Spider 9.2 or it's this Lab Golf DF3. I'm gonna have to do some more research on that over break. I had a tough time finding what golf ball Gary Woodland switched to, and I'm not sure exactly what putter Spahn has balled out with through two rounds. Once again, he's made the most birdies in the field. Got to watch out for J.J. Spahn here going into the weekend. We got to take a quick break. On the other side, we'll hear from Scottie Scheffler. We'll hear from world number one on what needs to happen this weekend for him to win. We'll hear from Patrick Cantlay and his game moving in the right direction at a great time ahead of the President's Cup. Hear from Cantlay on how Bellerive fits his game so well. A lot more to do. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Before we go to break, I got to tell you about one of the most prestigious amateur championships in the world, and it's coming back to Texas this November. It's the 2026 Spirit International Amateur Golf Championship, which will take place November 9th through the 14th at the number one ranked golf course in Texas, which is Whispering Pines Golf Club. The Spirit brings together the best amateur men and women from 20 countries in a 54-hole Olympic-style competition featuring both team and individual gold medals. And if you follow professional golf, you already know the legacy. Past Spirit competitors include Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, Victor Hovland, Rose Zhang, and Lexi Thompson. They were all at Whispering Pines competing at the Spirit before they became major champions and global stars. And I cannot give you too much detail on the field just yet. I will give you this little nugget. I did find out yesterday that Team England is sending U.S. amateur champion Jack Whaley to compete for England at the Spirit. And you'll recall to last week's show, you know, Whaley was our favorite player going into the weekend at the U.S. amateur champion. I love the NAIA pop and sizzle that he brings to the table. Now, of course, he's transferred to Florida State, whereby I have to check what class Jack Whaley is, but you got Miles Russell committed to Florida State. You have Charlie Woods committed to Florida State. So that's going to be an absolute powerhouse franchise, and I'm sure they're going to land some, you know, massive NAIA deals. I'm not NAIA deals. What about Johnny?
NIL?
NIL. My apologies. They'll have the most valuable college golf team in the country here in the next 1 or 2 years. But looking forward to getting Jack Whaley here for the Spirit and seeing him play Whispering Pines. Over the next few Saturdays, we'll release the field as we go. I don't want to give you too much because we really have not released it as an organization. So, you know, we'll slowly release that over the time. But opening ceremonies begin November 10th, rounds running Thursday through Saturday, and closing ceremonies on the 14th. And it's all bigger than golf. Hosted by the Spirit Golf Association, this championship supports critical charitable initiatives in healthcare, education, and food programs with more than $13 million contributed to date. It's a 2026 Spirit International. You can find out more at www.thespiritgolf.org. Once again, www.thespiritgolf.org.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Let's look about 9 shots behind the leader, Wyndham Clark at the BMW. That is where world number one Scottie Scheffler is at 3 under in a tie for 25th. In case you're just joining the show, Scotty fired a 5-under 65 yesterday, shot 5-under on the back nine to move up the leaderboard back into a place where he does have an outside chance to, by the time we get to Sunday afternoon, you could see world number one back in contention, but it would take 4 special nines. Thursday, when he fired a 2-over 72, he did say after the round that he was under the weather. He was not 100%, but Friday looked healthy. And here was world number one on what he needs to do over the next 2 days.
Last couple of rounds here to win this thing. And you think you're right in it, don't you?
I mean, I'm not where I'd like to be, but yeah, I had a good, I'll probably have to have 4 nines like I did on the back nine today. And, you know, that'll give me a chance to win. So hopefully do more what I did on the back over the course of the next, you know, 36.
If he, the way he putted last weekend when he won by 8 in Memphis, where he basically picked up 9 shots on the field on the greens. It was the best putting week of his career. He made 23 birdies, winning PGA Tour win number 21, and only 168 starts. It was impressive stuff. And when you look at players who have won multiple PGA Tour events, by at least 8, it's small. Tiger Woods, Ernie Els, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, and now Scottie Scheffler. The putting he displayed last week in Memphis, if that can come alive at all, which we got a little bit of a preview of on the back nine yesterday, it's a tall task, but I wouldn't put it past him, Scheffler, to get back into this thing. Looking further down the leaderboard, to a tie for 6th. That would be, and if you're just joining us, Wyndham Clark's your leader at 12-under, Gary Woodland's in 2nd at 11-under, J.J. Spahn in solo 3rd at 10-under, and then in a two-way tie for 4th is Chris Goddard up and Sung J.M., and then Patrick Cantlay and Michael Thorbjornsson are both in a tie for 6th at 8-under. You know, Cantlay, when you look at the President's Cup, he needs to have a good finish here to the season. You know, he has a 10-4-0 President's Cup record over his career. He's not in the Tour Championship yet. He is 43rd on the FedEx Cup money list. You have to be in the top 30 to get into next week. And right now, you know, he's 17th on the President's Cup points list. If he does not have a top five finish and get into the Tour Championship, I don't think Brandt Snedeker would have any reason to take him. You look at this, you look at the President's Cup points. In the automatic top six right now for the Americans are Scottie Scheffler, Cameron Young, Sam Burns, Russell Henley, Ben Griffin, and Colin Morikawa. So if the points ended today, those six would get automatic entry to Medina. The next six, seven is Wyndham Clark, eight is Chris Goddard, nine Xander Schauffele, 10 is J.J. Spahn. I don't see how those four guys would not make the team with where their games are currently at. 11 is Justin Thomas, 12 is Jacob Bridgman. And JT does have a 10-3-2 President's Cup record, which has to be taken seriously. His game, though, right now, JT, one top 15 in his last four starts. He went 50th at the Scottish, 65th at the British, 14th at the Wyndham, tied 47th last week in Memphis, not playing well, and neither is Jacob Bridgman. So, you look outside the top 12, you have Akshay Bhatia at 13, Patrick Cantlay at 17, those, and Gary Woodland at 27. And you would have to think if Gary ends this year with two wins, if he could find a way to win the BMW, plus the motivating story there with his recovery, they're going to want him in the locker room. Cantlay has to play well this weekend. We have seen him collapse over weekends a lot over the last month. Was in a good place heading into the weekend at the Rocket Classic. Ended up finishing tied eighth. Was in a good position heading into the weekend at the FedEx St. Jude in Memphis last week. Fell to a tie for 12th. Here was Cantlay on feeling like he's in a good spot right now with his overall game.
Yeah, I feel like the game's been trending. Feeling more comfortable, definitely with my irons. And, I just got to get hot with the putter. If you put a week together with good ball striking and then you get hot on the putting green, then that's usually your best finishes of the year. So trying to stay patient, but, I feel like everything's turning in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't think you could find a better golf course to suit his game on the schedule this year. The fact that he has the perfect lies in the fairways with the Zoysia and the soft bent grass greens, it suits him perfectly. I expect him to stay in the top 10, although has not looked that sharp on Sundays in the big spot. I certainly don't see him winning this golf tournament, but to stay in the top 10, absolutely, it should be no problem for Cantlay over this weekend. Here was Cantlay on the golf course and how it suits his game.
Yeah, I think it's a golf course. You definitely have to play from the fairway. The rough's up. And if you do, you can be aggressive on some holes. And today I drove the ball great and gave myself a lot of chances.
So, yeah, he entered the week. After yesterday, after his round yesterday, and he moved up the leaderboard, he is now projected 31st on the FedEx Cup standings. That would be one, if he were to finish sixth and all the situations around him remain the same, if he finished sixth, he would be projected 31st on the FedEx Cup standings. So he really needs to finish this week in the top five if he's going to safely be in that top 30 and move to Eastlake. He's got to keep moving. Sung Jae Im and Michael Thorbjornsson are also players in the top 10 on this leaderboard who are currently outside the top 30. Kurt Kitayama, right now, when you look at the bottom of this leaderboard, the BMW, Kitayama, Fowler, Bud Cauley, all players who are looking like they're going to fall outside of the top 30 or remain outside of the top 30, not make it to Eastlake. So we'll keep an eye on that there. As far as... more on the President's Cup. The automatic qualification window will close Sunday. So basically the top six Americans have the weekend to kind of set their place. And after two rounds, at the BMW, let's see here. Scheffler playing well. That's not moving. Basically, I don't see the top five changing. I don't even think with Ben Griffin struggling over the last several months, I don't think there's any situation where he can fall outside of the top six. And when I first looked at that, this is a what have you done for me lately kind of game golf is. But for him to have won four times between last year and then and then in the fall when he won at Diamante, it's an impressive run. It's a President's Cup deserving run. You just hope that he can kind of re-peak by the time they get to Medina. But a lot on the line for Wyndham Clark as far as the President's Cup, with him being seventh on the points list. This should be a week that sees him moving up. Let's see where Morikawa is, ranked sixth. Morikawa is currently in a tie for eighth at the BMW, so he's holding his own. Clark would be a no-doubt President's Cup pick. So would Goddard, with two wins on the season, and he could sneaky. Two wins, I think, for Goddard this year. Three wins for Goddard on the year. Won the Sony Open, won in Phoenix, won the John Deere Classic. I mean, if he finds a way to win the BMW and contends the Tour Championship, he's going to have an argument for player of the year. I mean, a top 25 at the Masters, a top 10 at the PGA. Disappointing 43rd place finish at the U.S. Open for Goddard. I'd have thought he'd fare better at Shinnecock, but he has an opportunity to also shake up the player of the year award and not the money list, but and also playing for his President's Cup position as well. And then J.J. Spahn there at 10th. Big weekend for him. J.J. Spahn feels like he has to play well over the next 2 weeks to get in the President's Cup. And here was more from last year's U.S. Open winner on that.
Is President's Cup on your mind?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know I got to take care of business, play well, and you know, I would love to just earn my way and not have to be on the chopping block for a pick. But all I can do is just continue to play as best as I can and, you know, hopefully earn it the hard way.
Are you kind of in a mindset of you need to play well one of these next 2 weeks to, you know, validate?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, it's hard to think that, like, you know, locking up Tour Championship, making it there and, like, winning earlier this year, like, you know, is still not enough. But, like, I mean, that's, you know, over a course of a whole season, you know, they want guys that are peaking at the right time. And I want to show them that, you know, I am playing well and I'm still in good form and, you know, can be an asset to the team in September.
All right, so on the other side, we'll get you up to date with the Nexo Championship, what's going on across the pond in Scotland. We will also dive into I'll give you a couple updates on there's just been a lot of LIV Golf in the headlines as far as its collapse. Obviously, no one cares. No one's watching Indianapolis this weekend, and this is going to be a tour that will soon be a thing of the past. But their chief executive gave a couple comments. Bryson DeChambeau gave a couple comments. Rory McIlroy said that this week that the LIV guys have not proven their value. I'll tell you why he was right on the other side. But first, let's send a couple more people to the ESPN Houston Listener Party of the Year, which is happening Friday, August 28th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at St. Arnold Beer Hall. We'll have food, drinks. Listen, even if you're not a beer drinker, supposedly they have some of the best root beer on the planet. We'll have giveaways. And, of course, your favorite ESPN 97.5 personalities will be there. John Granato, Lance Zierlein, Del Olle, Jeremy Branham, Joe George, B-Mac, yours truly. We'll all be there. Looking forward to celebrating. Looking forward to seeing you. You must be 21 or older to attend. You cannot buy these tickets. That is the kicker here. You know, you can't call Joe. and purchase tickets. Can't call the station. Can I purchase tickets? No, no, no. You have to win your way in. So let's do it right now. Caller number three at 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets. Two tickets to the 2026 ESPN 97.5 Listener Appreciation Party on Friday, August 28th. Once again, caller number three, 713-780-3776 is the number. Good luck, and we'll see you at St. Arnold.
ESPN 97.5.
The Golf Hour continues now on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
All right, so this week there was some updates as far as the collapse of LIV Golf, and now some players are going back and forth. There's some players going back and forth as far as whether the players that went to LIV Golf brought any kind of value, and whether their value is now in question. And Rory came out and said, you know, Rory was asked, hey, are you guys going to welcome the John Rahms and the Bryson DeChambeaus back with open arms? And Rory posed the question, what value have they brought to LIV? So what value are we missing from the PGA Tour? The PGA Tour is in a stronger place than ever. And Lee Westwood fired back, saying that they brought a lot of value. Bryson DeChambeau had a response for Rory. Hey, Johnny, we'll run the DeChambeau tape as far as this was DeChambeau's comeback to Rory after Rory said that LIV golfers have no value.
How are you able to compartmentalize what you have to do on the course with all the work you're doing behind the scenes to ensure the future prosperity of this league?
Yeah, you know, I think, look, it's tough. It's not easy. You know, we definitely have a lot against us. But I think, you know, behind the scenes, we've got a lot of people that are working hard to make this possible for not only all the players that are out here, but all the fans that have come out to these events and the economic impact that we've made in all of these places, whether it's South Africa, here in Indy, or Australia, and numerous places across the world, the UK, all the different places we've been in the US, although even Nashville, when we played a few years ago, it was unbelievable. So I think, you know, that we just have a bit of a responsibility to continue to show this, and you know, if it works, it works. Awesome, right? If it doesn't, you know, we'll figure things out, you know, and time will move on, and I would say that time heals things. I hope people that can see that we actually bring value to the game of golf. And, you know, my wish is that, you know, people give us one more shot and be open-minded.
Yeah, there's not going to be another shot. And we found out over the last 4 years that, you know, everyone's all hoopla and rah-rah about Bryson DeChambeau's YouTube numbers. But then when he goes to LIV and he's playing on Fox Sports, there's no one watching. And even without the Rahms and the DeChambeaus and the Westwoods, the tour has not missed a beat. There's been nothing missed from those players. The ratings got better without them. So I agree with Rory on that. All right, we're going to do one more giveaway. We have time, Johnny. We have one more giveaway here. We're giving out tickets to Lynyrd Skynyrd and Foreigner, the Double Trouble Vision Tour. They're playing at Cynthia Woods Pavilion August 27th at 6:30 p.m. We'll take a caller. The caller has to answer this question. Which Houston golf legend won both the Masters and the PGA Championship in 1956? What Houston golf legend won both the Masters and the PGA Championship in 1956? 713-780-3776 is the number. First caller in to answer this question. Johnny, please open up the lines. We'll take it one by one here. You know, there's... When you think about this player, he is a junior. I'll give you a hint there. He is a junior. Let's see here. He was a great teacher. He is not with us anymore. He lived a full life. I believe he lived until he was 100. Great friends with Jimmy DeMeritt. Great friends with Charlie Epps. One of the better good friends with Steve Elkington. This individual, this Masters champion, good friends with the Elk, who we're actually going to have on the show here pretty soon, in partnership with CanCare. And CanCare is a great. We have a caller. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so yeah. 713-780-3776 is the number. We're giving away tickets to Lynyrd Skynyrd and Forner. I have two of them. It is Thursday, August 27th at 6:30 p.m. We'll see if we can. We've got two callers on the line here. We'll see if we can get them in before the end of the show. You know, as far as the BMW Championship, and if you're just joining the show, I don't see this leaderboard changing much at all, especially with how solid of a year the leaders have had. Wyndham Clark, two-time winner. He's at 12-under with a one-shot lead. I expect Gary Woodland. I expect Gary Woodland to stay atop the leaderboard. Johnny, are we gonna bring these people on to answer or no? Maybe Johnny's just giving them away on the phone line. But yeah, to recap everything, this is a strong top of the leaderboard. I don't see anyone really making a move. You know, my one outright who is still in has a way outside shot is Adam Scott at 4-under, 8 shots back. He would have to do something very special. He would have to get the putter completely turned around in a complete 360 way, losing a shot and a half to the field on the greens through two rounds. I think Gary Woodland is going to be I do think Gary Woodland's going to win this golf tournament. Johnny, do we have a giveaway here? We're gonna get someone on to answer this question. And we're running out of time here. 8:57. I'm gonna have to get out of here soon. Other topics on the world of golf that we missed today. As far as what's going on at the Nexo and the DP World Tour, Sean Norris has a 2-shot lead, South African. He is 2 shots ahead of Martin Kuvra, who is a young DP World Tour winner. As far as who we have that's in the top 20 there, it's only Jacob Skov-Ullis, and he's at 2-under through 7 holes. He is, once again, outside chance to win this golf tournament. I don't really see it happening. Sean Norris, a very solid veteran at the top of the Nexo leaderboard, and Coover is a former winner. You have Andy Sullivan there in sixth at 4-under. It looks like we're either going to give this away behind the scenes or we'll do it again next week. We gave it away. We got the Lynyrd. Someone's going to go enjoy Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's good to hear. Sorry for the congestion towards the end of the show. We'll be back with you next week. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. The Bullpen is next.
Hey, this is Rich Eisen. Coming up on Monday, another preseason week is in the books, and we'll get you caught up. It's my 4-down season preview on the 49ers, and the comedian Sam Morrill joins us in studio on Monday's Rich Eisen Show.
Noon to 3 on ESPN 97.5.